that we're going to do is looking back. Looking back, and this is found in Matthew chapter 26. Here the Lord Jesus Christ is with his disciples in the upper room. And here he takes the Passover meal and he takes parts of it and he gives them something new. He institutes something new, what we call the Lord's Supper or communion. In verse 26 it says of Matthew 26, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them saying, drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And then going over to Matthew chapter 27, where we see the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. When morning came, all the chief priests and elders of the people plotted against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. And then down to verse 11. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus said to him, it is as you say. And while he was being accused by the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then Pilate said to him, do you not hear how many things they testify against you? But he answered him not one word, so that the governor marveled greatly. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to releasing to the multitude one prisoner whom they wished. And at that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they had gathered together, Pilate said to them, whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Christ? For he knew that they had handed him over because of envy. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, saying, have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said to them, which of the two do you want me to release to you? And they said, Barabbas. Pilate said to them, what shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? And they said to him, let him be crucified. Then the governor said, why? What evil has he done? But they cried out all the more, saying, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it. And all the people answered and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Then he released Barabbas to them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered around the whole garrison around him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And when they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head, a reed in his right hand. Then they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, hail, King of the Jews! Then they spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off of him, put his own clothes on him, and led him away to be crucified. Now as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they had come to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, place of a skull, they gave him sour wine mingled with gall to drink. But when he had tasted it, he would not drink it. Then they crucified him and divided his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Sitting down, they kept watch over him there. And they put up over his head the accusation written against him. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. And two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. Those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, you who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself if you are the Son of God. Come down from the cross. Likewise, the chief priests also, mocking with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he is the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing. Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Some of those who stood there, when they heard that, said, "This man is calling for Elijah." Immediately, one of them ran out and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and offered it to him to drink. The rest said, "Let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come in and save him." And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and rocks were split, and graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised, and coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Jesus Christ there was crucified because of us, for our sins. He was God's Lamb who provided the sacrifice, the once-for-all sacrifice for the sins of the world. We're going to sing "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross."
Flow me.
then, a couple weeks ago, we talked about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where Paul once again reiterates the Lord's table in the instructions he gives to the church at Corinth at verses 23 through 25. He said, "I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night in which he was betrayed took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" And then Paul adds this footnote. He says this, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." The precious thing about the communion, about the Lord's table, is it not only is a looking back in that we are proclaiming the Lord's death, but it's also that we are looking forward to his return. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back for his own one day soon. But on top of that, Paul places instructions because the church at Corinth was not doing well with the communion meal. So he says this in verse 27, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. This reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. When we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world." Paul challenged the church at Corinth to partake of the Lord's table in a worthy manner. And a couple weeks ago, we talked about that. What is a worthy manner? What is a way that honors, when I take of this, what is a way that honors the Lord? And we talked about three things. We talked first and foremost that you must know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You must be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not a believer, this means nothing. And let me tell you this as well. If you are not a believer, but you have come to the communion service to take this, thinking that this will somehow either get you right with God or somehow do something, minister some kind of grace in your life to get you saved, it won't. These are just simple things. It's a tool of reminder. So you have to look within yourself and say, have I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? The second thing you have to ask yourself is, have I been baptized? Because I believe that to partake of the Lord's table in a worthy manner, one must be baptized. Because baptism is that first command that the Lord has given to his disciples. If you've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you're going to follow after the Lord Jesus Christ, one of the first things you do is you proclaim it to the church and to the world by being buried in the waters and being raised to new life. It's a picture of your new birth. So one must be baptized as well to partake in a worthy manner. And then the third thing is that you must be right with the Lord. There must be nothing between you and the Lord. No sin harboring in your heart, no sin that you're holding on to, no offense that is out there that you know of. As God looks at your heart right now, does he see sin, or does he see his child right with him? So what we're going to do now is Kevin's going to play, it's actually a song, it's a beautiful song called Whiter Than Snow. We're not going to sing it, but what I want you to do is I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to pray. I want you to look within. I want you to inspect yourself. Ask the Lord, search me and try me. See if there's any wicked way in me. So that when we partake of the Lord's table in just a minute, you would have opportunity not to partake in an unworthy manner. And I really challenge you, if those three things are not true of you, do one of two things. Either get right with the Lord, let those things be true of you and then partake, or don't partake. Don't partake before you're right with the Lord. So we'll give you some time now to look within. Father, we have looked within. And hopefully, as we have looked within, you see within us children who are right with you. Father, I thank you for your grace and for your mercy, for your love toward us. And as we partake of this cracker, that, Father, you would be pleased in the way that our hearts are taking it. But also, Father, that we would be mindful of that precious body of our Lord and Savior that was placed on the cross for us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can go ahead and open the clear plastic part on top. If you need any help, or if you're not able to open it, you can ask for some help. The people around you can raise your hand. John's in the back. If you need another one, somebody in the first service didn't get theirs open, and so they need another one. So if you can't get that open, it's okay. I'll wait a minute until the crackling dies down. Let's take this together, being mindful of the body of our Lord and Savior that was placed on the cross for our sins. This time we're going to be taken back to the cross with another song, The Old Rugged Cross. Till my alas, we carry that cross until what? One day I lay it down, right? What would I trade? That cross for what? Anybody know the song? Thank you, Joanne. One day we'll lay down our cross. We'll trade it for a crown. A day when we're in the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's sing this together.
Far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. Above that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross. At last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange its own pay for a dark Calvary.
take the cup, which reminds us of the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which was shed for our sins. Father, may we never, ever take this lightly. May we never forget the great cost. And Father, may we always live in light of the cross of Calvary. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. I would encourage you, when you open your grape juice, to open it away from you if you haven't already got it open. We do this together, remembering his blood that was shed on the cross for our sins. We're going to sing Amazing Grace now. Three verses of Amazing Grace remind us once again of that amazing grace. Within, we have looked up, we have looked at our Savior, and now we are going to look around at one another. We look around at one another. This is our family in Christ. These are your brothers and sisters. These are who you will spend eternity with. And I know what you're saying, oh boy. But hey, we will be glorified. We will be perfected. There won't be any oh boy when we get to heaven. There won't be any oh no, they're here. No. And that day our faces will not be looking so much at one another as we will be looking at our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But we are comrades together. We are soldiers for Christ, disciples. And sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we forget the bonds that we have. Do you know that the bond that we have is greater than any blood bond you might have? It goes much deeper, and it is a forever bond if you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the things that I want to implement into our communion service is purposefully looking around and praying for one another. The communion meal is not something you just do by yourself. You don't do it at home by yourself. It doesn't count if you do it at home by yourself. It's supposed to be done in a community. And so what I want to do this morning is I'm going to lead us in a prayer for one another, some general requests, some specific requests. But what I'd like to do in the future is the next time we have our communion service is to have a mic set up so that you can come forward and pray for somebody else. And someone else can come forward and pray for somebody else.
And we can actually pray for one another in our service for different things that are going on. So just kind of keep that in your mind as we move forward in the days ahead. But at this time, I just want to pray for us, for one another. Father, we are in your presence. And you are here with us. Because of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are allowed to approach your throne of grace, and we do that. Father, at this time specifically, we pray for one another, our brothers and sisters that are around us. Father, we pray that we would not become weak, that we would not fail, that you would encourage us, and that we would continue on until our Lord and Savior comes. May we be faithful. Father, I would ask that you would help us as a church family to practice the one another's in a greater way, in a more loving way. Father, so much more as we see the day approaching. Father, I pray for those in our church family who have health needs. I pray for the Weavers, Bill and Shirley, that you would encourage them. Father, I pray that you would give the doctors wisdom, that they would find out what's wrong and be able to work with Bill. But in the meantime, may they continue to rest upon you. May they continue to look to you. I pray for Harvey and Joanne. I pray for that household. I pray that you would give them strength, that there would be a joy there, a love there, that Christ would be manifested there as they interact with one another. I pray that your word would be their great hope, and that it would echo within the walls of their home, and the sweet songs that we sing would be in their hearts, and that they would rest in the love of Jesus. Father, I pray for Evie. The homegoing of saints can be very sweet. And Father, as her father, seemingly coming to the end of his race, perhaps you will call us all home together, but perhaps you will call him home before that time. I pray that at the end of his race, that you would give him strength. Father, that the truths that he has learned throughout his life, the promises that he has held on to, that they will be in his heart and in his mind, and that he will be a great testimony of your faithfulness in these days to his family, friends, to neighbors. I pray that the love of Jesus would come from that man's lips and be heard by those around him. May there be peace in that household. May there be joy, strength. Father, I know there's others within our church family that are going through health issues. I don't know all of them, but I know some others. And generally, I pray for them. Wisdom, yes. Strength, yes. Father, peace in the midst of pain. Maybe it's not health issues. Maybe it's spiritual issues. Maybe there are things going on in the home. Maybe there are things going on with children and grandchildren that are heavy upon the hearts of our church family this morning. And I would pray for them, Father, that they would know that their prayers are not forgotten. That when they daily plead for their children and grandchildren, Father, that they would know that you have heard those prayers, that you have seen those tears. Father, in your grace and in your wisdom and in your time, you will do your work. Don't let their hearts fail, Father. Don't let their prayers stop. Father, all of us together, may we continue to be a light to the world around us. We live in a dark time. It's everywhere and it's obvious. And Father, I pray that we would be lights until the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May we continue to pray for one another, love one another, cherish one another, uplift one another in the days ahead. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. One more look, and that is the look forward. And in your Bibles, Matthew chapter 28 is the story of the resurrection. Jesus did not stay dead, but he arose from the grave. And the first century church was predominantly Jews for a long time, and they were used to meeting on the Sabbath and worshiping on the Sabbath. But after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, they started meeting on Sunday to celebrate that Jesus Christ had risen from the grave. Here is the resurrection story, Matthew chapter 28. Now after the Sabbath, on the first day of the week, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow, and the guards shook with fear for him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring word to his disciples, to bring his disciples word. Jesus Christ rose from the grave. He is our living Savior, our living hope. And he is coming again for us. At the very end of your Bible, if you've ever read Revelation, some of the last words John wrote are this: "Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Even so, come, Lord Jesus." And that's what we're looking forward to. I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ could come back at any moment for his church. Come in those clouds and pull us up out of this earth to be with him forever. That can happen at any time. Are we ready for that? Are we looking for that? I hope that you are. We're going to sing one last verse, one last song, "Christ Returneth." And so we're going to stand together and sing this great last song, and then Daniel will close us in a word of prayer. Thank you for coming this morning. I hope it's been an encouragement to your hearts and souls. Let's stand and sing together, "Christ Returneth." And then Daniel will close us in a word of prayer.
come back for your own. I pray that you will find us prepared. I pray that we will not be resting in the sense of being lazy. I pray that we will use this time that you've given us to be diligent, to be sharing the good news of your gospel to others. I pray that we will be doing things that count for eternity. Pray that each day we will be filled with expectation of your return. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.